Okay, we are in Perek Beis. We finished Mishnah Aleph and Beis. We're up to Mishnah Gimel. Mishnah Gimel, he has a very short comment on. Havi zehirim b'roshus. Be careful, watch out. Roshus is understood to mean government people. Watch out for people that work for the government. Now, what?
Some things never change.
I was going to say, I'm not so sure if this is talking about the American government, but... well, first, let's read what it says. Have a in Baruch. They're really not interested in helping you. They're interested in helping themselves. Nirin ka'ayhavim, yushas ha'na'asan. They look like your friends when they have benefit from you. And they don't help you when you're in need. So, what he's saying here about the government people, look, there's no question that government and all government people, it was always a high graft situation. There was always such a situation where the historians say that the Ottoman Empire fell because everything was bribery and nothing worked, and that included the government, that included the army, that included everything. That nothing, it became so rampant that nothing worked properly. We know that in communist Russia, it was very much that way. Sometimes I'm with the Russian Yid, and I envy his ability to slip a guy some money and get things done. Like, I can't do that. How do you do that? I don't have the courage to do it. And but anyway, the point here is not so much a government. The point here is a comment about friendship, about people that help people. What it really says here is that someone who helps you because of his self-interest is someone you have to watch out for. Have his hearing. You know, sometimes somebody helps you for his self-interest. You have a client at work, and he helps you because it's good for him. So that's fine. But have he's a human. But you got to watch out. It's the friendship is not a friendship. It's not deep. Has no depth to it. And that's the measure. The measure of a friendship is when somebody is a friend, even when things don't go in his interest. That's the measure. All the Balei Machshava write that Ahava is from the language of Hav, of giving. Now, somebody's willing to give of himself, so that's a sign of Ahava. So that's really the comment that it's making here. It's certainly talking about the government at the time, which have a government, probably the Romans at this time. Yeah.
It seems out of context, all the time he's been talking about the needles, and good advice about
It doesn't seem to flow directly, although indirectly, it is defining Ahava in an indirect way. The lashon of Hav Zehirim B'Roshus is a little tricky. It is noteworthy that these mishnayos come from the Nasi, from Rav Gamliel ben Asher Yehuda Nasi. I mean, it's the end of the previous mishnah talked about being geisin and tzibul l'shem shemayim. You're right. So it's a nice continuation. But at any rate, certainly Chaim Volozhin's brief comments on this mishnah seem to underscore the definition of ahava. Have is a hearing near a kaya. He says nimsa ahavasai hisina. Comes out the ahava is sina. The harsh words regarding avas habanim is that when someone raises a child and does things because it's easier for him, even though it's not good for the child, is really sayna benai, is really somebody who is not showing love. If a son wants something that's bad for him, it's poison, and because he begs you, you give it to him, so that's a sinner, that's not an ava. You don't want to bother you, so you give it to him. That's not an ava. Ava is doing something for the benefit of the other person. So Rechaim Volozhin writes, "Nimsa avasa hisina, v'azem is pa'eres ha'toyra, ani oyavei oyhev. I have love for my friends, u'mishachra yimtzu and yimtzaynena. Now, what is yimtzayneni? And they will find me at the time of mishacharai. What does that mean? Shachar is the morning. Let's see what he says. What's the limer? Ani ayev, I love. V'loi ka'ava anal shirak b'shas ma'isa. And not like the previously mentioned ava, which is only when b'shas ma'isa, when I have something from it. Kim af b'shachra imsu ene insu uneni. Shapi inna d'loi asik ba aguni magdami yisurim. Even at the time, person is not isik in Torah, the Torah shows an ava for the person and protects him from yisurim. So that avas haTorah is not only when you're learning the Torah, when you're away from the Torah. That's one pshat. V'gam eshu lefarei shlosha mishachrei ki unayfel amishahaya adava biyavei v'nevda minenu u'mechapei sachreha. Mishachrei is, I'm not sure how it fits Hebrew, maybe somebody can help me. Maybe somebody that's lost and that you're searching. So, keinu adava b'pairish min haTorah. So it's true for somebody who is perish min haTorah. If somebody separates himself from Torah, the idea it would be that Torah should not make itself available to him. Let me say, I said this place the kisra shel Torah. Like heino iti makom makim yitzu in any v'day bizara rav chesed. So he's saying that the Torah is saying in the oyav oyav. The Torah is speaking. It says, those who love me, I have a true love for them. It's such a true love that even when they shy away from me, they will still find me. When they're not learning, Torah is megin umatzel, even when a person is not learning, and even if they deliberately leave Torah, somebody wants to come back, so it says the Torah opens the door for someone who wants to come back. So that's the ultimate mida of Ahava. What?
Very hard to come back.
Yet, it says that a Kaddish Baruch Hu opens the door for somebody who wants to come back. It goes so far as to say that somebody, even if there's averis for which officially there's no kapara, a Kaddish Baruch Hu digs a special tunnel to the Kisei HaKavod where you can sort of, you can't get in the gate, somebody who's Parish Ben HaTzibur, who's Mesis, certain averis that a person can't come back. So by rules. So it says the Kaddish Baruch Hu digs a tunnel, he can come back straight to the Kisei HaKavod. The way it's usually explained is that there are two ways to get to the king. One is to follow protocol and get to the king, and the other is to show a great ava to the king. Somebody shows a great ava is able to get to the king. I had with one of my sons when he went to learn Eretz Yisrael, for whatever personal reasons, I didn't think brisk was for him. I wanted him to go to the mirror. So he listened to me, he went to the mirror, and after his man, he was unhappy. His friends weren't brisk. So I told him, okay, so go to brisk. It doesn't work that way. You can't go from mirror to brisk. Like, you know, that's... I said, fine, I'll have to go in. So I went into Rabbi Ram Yeshua. And I said, Shalom Aleichem to him. And so the first thing he said, Tarvadas, did you learn Rav Chazan? So I learned Rav Chazan. I learned him for 4 years. He was my Masad Kedushin. He was only Masad Kedushin for two Talmidim for all the years he was in the yeshiva. And I was one of them. Masad Kedushin. So I saw right away, I hit a good spot. It was a famous thing that Rabbi Chazan was known as a tremendous Eloi. For whatever reason, had to leave yeshiva for a period of time. It was a health reason or something. And the town he went to, the Brisker Rav, was saying shir. And he went to the Brisker Rav Shir, he sat for Masechtas Nazir for about 3 weeks or 4 weeks. And he loved it. And somehow it developed a kinyan with Brisk. So I went, so Rabbi Chazan, that like was, you know. And then he said to me, you know, if it doesn't work that way, you go to Mir, you can't come to Brisk. You know, like, it's one of the rules. So I told him that, you know, even God has a tunnel that you can get, break the rules and go through a tunnel and come up to the Kisei HaKavod. So, you know, so he's got to get to the Kisei HaKavod, let him go through the tunnels. So he said, fine. So he said, fine, but he has to ask again. That was his thing. Right before his mind, when he asked again, and he let him in. So, you know, I don't know. They say that with the briskers, you just have to have a good answer, a sharp answer, and you get your way. You know, he gives a chumish. His favorite shir is the chumish shmuz on Friday, where he sometimes touches on politics and the boys. Some people actually enjoy it, but the rule is that if you're not from the yeshiva, you can't come. So the story goes that one Friday he sensed a couple of guys, somebody was there who didn't belong, So he said, you know, the fellow who doesn't belong here, please leave. So the fellow said, I'll pay half the cost of everybody who's here if you let me stay. If not, I'll pay the whole cost. Of course, he was referring to the Kamtzu by Kamtzu story, where he was going to be thrown out. So he loved the line, and of course, that's enough to stay. You know, I'm brisk, you're sharp, so that's an opening to stay. It's hard to explain, but it's sort of somebody in Toro who says, you know, I decide I want to go to Yale. So if you hold that brisk is Yale and Mir is Toro, then you know, you can't apply, you know, transfer credits from Toro to Yale. They won't accept you. So it depends on your point of reference. But I'm being maybe a little realistic. I guess the way they would say it is the type of bacher wants to go to Mir probably doesn't fit in brisk. That's, I guess, the way they would say it. I couldn't tell him, well, I felt he's better off in Mir, you know, so I couldn't do that. But anyway. At any rate, the idea here, anyway, is the idea of Ahava. Oh, so I was started saying, this rule that you can break the rules, and you can do tshuva through digging a tunnel, is Ahava. Is Ahava and Cheshik. Because sometimes, by the rules, you have to be punished. If you show the right ava, if you show the right words, so you can overcome the rules. You can overdo the rules. You know, somebody went for Shalom Bayis counseling to a counselor. The person told each of them to write on a piece of paper the three things about the spouse that bothers them the most. So this woman was writing this article. How she thought about it, she wrote, I can imagine yourself already, the different things he does. She chose three things. You know, she probably had 20, 25, had to narrow it down to three. So the counselor took the papers, read her three, and then he wrote, just, I love you, I love you, I love you. And that's what he wrote. And, sometimes you can't, if you're at home, if the rules don't work, if your wife doesn't like that you chew the food too loud or eat with your fingers or whatever major infractions. If you show Ava, you can dig a tunnel and make your way through. So that's what Ava's about. I try to tell the boys when I talk to them before they get married, nobody comes to Shalom Bayis Shmuzin after marriage because everyone's fine. But before marriage, they have this innocence. And they come. So I try to tell them that they should look for opportunities. Let's say the wife, an example I give is the wife's a shlomazel. She locks the keys in the car. It doesn't happen anymore with the newfangled cars, but she locks the keys in the car and she calls you in the middle of the day, I locked the keys in the car. Normally you say again. So don't do that. That's an opportunity to show Ava. Look at it as an opportunity. Opportunity, no problem. I'll be right there and you go there. It's an opportunity. She locks the keys in the car, huh? So my wife once showed me an anecdote in the Reader's Digest. A lady told her friend, she locked the keys in the car, and she called her husband in the middle of work. He grumbled and said, I'm coming. Then she noticed that the button on the back door was up. So her friend says, so what'd you do? He said, only one thing to do. I quickly opened the door, locked it, and slammed the door. But anyway, the point is that to show Ava, you have to find an opportunity where we have no self-interest. If a person has self-interest, then the Ava that's shown is not... It's not a real Ava, and it's not the Ava that needs to be. So that's the message here, and as much as it applies to the government, especially in the time of the Romans, I don't know. I'm not going to start the next Mishnah since it'll be a couple of weeks. Let me just tell you a story about the Romans, their persecution of these people we're talking about, Rav Gamliel, Shimon Gamliel, a little confusing, the entire line of the Nesiim. There was Rav Gamliel HaZaken, who was still alive in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and then Rav Shimon HaNerag was the first Rav Shimon, who we read about yesterday, and now it's the Elavanein, who was killed, and there was another Rav Gamliel, another Rav Shimon, and I believe that was Rabbeinu HaKadosh followed him, and there was a tremendous disparity in their interaction with the Roman Caesars. Roman Caesars generally didn't live a long time. They generally died from food, from being poisoned. It's very interesting to read the history of the time period. Just to me, it's very confusing because the history books have their names and their wives' names and the cities, and it means nothing to me. So it's always very hard to read. But what strikes you is that one was emperor for 2 years, one for 4 years, one for 7 years. Generally, they all met death by violent means, because that was just the way it worked. It was dangerous to be an emperor. And it went from one emperor to the other. And when you read about it, Otsko put out a history of the Second Temple period. They put out 2 volumes. It's a history book. It's not written in an exciting way. But it's very striking how one emperor is friendly with the house of the Nasi and one is not. Of course, Rabbeinu HaKadosh was the closest with the Nasi's house and all of the, from all of them. But nevertheless, it's striking how it goes back and forth. And the Sanhedrin, when it hid in the Aliyah in different places, it was because it was able to weather the storm. Another emperor came. So Mesechtas Tainis, we actually have a story of a soldier that was set out to kill Rabbi Gamliel. I assume it means the second Rabbi Gamliel. Went out to kill him. And he said to him, if I save your life, will you, whatever it is, grant me a place in Olam Haba? And he said, yes. And he went up to the roof and he jumped down. So it's very hard to understand why he go to the roof and jump off. I mean, he should have, gone to yeshiva, grown long pais and a beard, and disguised himself. So what they bring there is that the Romans were very superstitious, and by Roman law, if you sent someone to kill someone and the messenger died, then he was no longer, the death penalty was no longer in force. And he jumped from the roof and saved Rabbi Gamliel. But it was that kind of place. It was a place of Zahir Bershus. It was that type of place. And if you take that context, that's what the Nesiim lived with, then when you read Zahir Bershus, Shemakav L'Sadam El L'Tzarech Atzman, Nirin Kayavim, this whole thing, then it takes on a different ponim. I guess it was more of a way of life.
It says later on, I forget how famous, Halil Shlomish Almalta Shalmoli Israel. They're talking about the Roman Empire, wasn't that
the government? They're talking about the Shalom of the government. And it's been that way always for Jews, that when there's a central authority, it's good. And is it a contradiction? You have to daven that the central government be powerful, but have obviously human rishos. It says just be careful. When you deal with them, don't trust them. That's what it's telling you. And,
wasn't there a blind man who once the king came to see what was doing with subjects?
The Gemara brings. That's very good. And he said the walls have ears. To me, it's a striking Gemara. He says, tell me what you think about the king. He says, I don't talk about the king. He says, there's no one else here. He said, the walls have ears. He said, something else. He said, Ha'if Yerlich Es HaKayel. So wasn't he telling him that I hate you, but I can't say it because you're going to find out? Like, if he loved him, why couldn't he say it? Very strange. But it seems he didn't curse him. Okay, at any rate, Baruch Hashem, we live in a very unusual time for Jewish people. Baruch Hashem, Medina Shel Chesed. And the Mitzvah Hashem, I hope to return, I shouldn't say I hope to return, but my plan is to return 2 weeks from Sunday. And Mitzvah Hashem will send out an email, I hope. It's a shame to be able to continue.